Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And reading from verse 13 and verse 14. But all things that are reproved, that are made known, that are exposed, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we humbly, Lord, come before you this morning, believing that you have descended with a shout, a great pillar of light, great pillar of fire, for one purpose, and that is to give light unto us. And now this morning, as we heard last night, the great cry from the Apostle Paul, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, then Christ shall give thee light. But first we must awake, then we must rise to come to the light. And so, Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes to the light, that all the bountiful energy of that light might truly energize us and bring forth in us the fruit that you so long for. Father, we commit this message, we commit the people's lives to thee. We pray, Father, that your children would awaken out of their sleep. They would shake themselves. They would arise and shine. For thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. For darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall shine upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon us. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to that glory, with ever increasing glory, for it comes from your Spirit, your word. And now we ask that you bless us, Lord, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last night we examined Ephesians 5 and verse 14, where Paul said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We examined the first part of the scripture, and we defined just who this person is that Paul is saying, thou that sleepest. Now we found that sleep is associated with night and thus darkness, as we see in 1 Thessalonians 5 and chapter 5 and verse 5. Paul said, you are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. We also found that Paul identified the spirit of slumber as a sort of drunkenness, which signifies a sort of stupor or unconsciousness of what is going on all around you. You've heard the reference made when someone's deep in sleep, it might be said that they're really out of it. They're really out of it. In other words, they haven't a clue right now as to what's going on. Why? Because they're asleep. And my fear is that amongst the bride of Jesus Christ, amongst the churches that profess to believe that God sent his prophet, there's a great slumber that persists among the people. A great slumber. And you know, when you're sleeping, your senses are not in operation. You have eyes, but you don't see. You have ears, but you don't hear. You have hands and you have a sense of feeling, but you don't feel. You have taste, but you don't taste that the Lord is good. And so you're out of it. You're kind of off into limbo or off into some other land, some other place. See? And the reason I bring this scripture to our attention is because the majority of people living today are so unaware of what is going on that they might as well be asleep. Or their condition could be best described as someone who is out of it. Or out cold. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to the light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." Who are these sleepers, then, that are spoken of by Paul? I would have to say everyone except a few who have been awakened. In the parable of the 10 wise and 10 foolish virgins, we find the Lord comes at an hour where gross darkness is upon the earth. All are sleeping when suddenly there's a midnight cry. We pick up the verse in chapter 25, verse 1 of Matthew. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." In other words, they had the word because Psalm 119, verse 110 says, the word is a lamp unto our path, a light unto our feet. So the word of God is their lamp. They all had lamps, but one had oil in their lamp. One knew how to use the word. The other had no lamp. They had no clue. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. One had the oil, one had the Holy Spirit anointing the word, and the other had no anointing on that word. "Therefore, 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him. Then all these virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." They begin to trim it. You know, they begin to search the scriptures. For in them there is life. See? They begin to trim the lamp. They begin to search the scriptures. See? "And at midnight, as the cry went out, then they trimmed the lamp. And the foolish said unto the wise, Oh no, give us of your oil, for ours is gone out. We had it at one time. We had enough anointing on the word to know that God sent a prophet." Yes. But that oil has gone out. See? "Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answer saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go you rather to them that sell the tapes." No, excuse me. That sell the oil, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. And he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. There's no more oil. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh, or where the Son of Man cometh. Jesus tells us that 2 sets of virgins were awakened. No one else but these 2 different groups who were both virgins were awakened. Everyone else was asleep. It was dark. It was midnight. One happens to be a wise virgin, and they have not only the word of God, but they also have the revelation on that word. The other group has the same lamp, the same word, the same message, but they have no clue how to use it. For they have no oil. Now we found that the state or nature of those who sleep through this midnight cry are those who are in a state of utter darkness. A state wherein darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. As we pointed out last night, these poor unawakened people, these sinners, have no knowledge of themselves. Although they have much knowledge of other things. They can know how to make cars run. They can know how to make planes fly, they can know how to make laser beams and atomic power, but they have no knowledge of themselves, because as we found that our knowledge of ourselves come when we receive knowledge of Him. In Colossians chapter 3, reading in verse 4, we read, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, that word is phaneru, shall manifest in his true character, then shall we appear, then shall we manifest in our true character with him in glory, in doxa. That word doxa means the very opinion, the assessment, the judgment that he has. In other words, when we see him manifest, we will be manifested ourselves. This tells us that when Christ manifests in his true character, we shall do the same. Again, we see in 1 John 3 and verse 1 to 2, the same thing. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world can never know themselves, because they never knew him. If you do not see the correct understanding of the Godhead, you will never really know who you are. You can't know who you are. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And it is the seeing him as he really is that allows us to see who we really are. Now that we understand who this is that Paul admonishes to awake, and who it is that will never awake, let's move on to the next thought. He said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from those who are among the dead. In other words, don't stay there in your stupor. Don't just lie there. As I said last night, if you've ever gone to bed and you decide, well, I'm going to sleep in this morning, and after your 8 hours or so, 7, 8 hours, what your body needs, after that's been fulfilled, if you choose to just lay there in bed, you find yourself getting more tired. And pretty soon you close those eyes again, you maybe put a blinder over them. Those little things are kind of nice if you don't have the opportunity to get some rest. But I tell you one thing, if you do have the opportunity and you choose to keep those blinders on, and you decide, I'm going to stay in the bed till maybe 10 o'clock, I'm going to sleep till 10 this morning, about 10 o'clock comes and you're so tired you don't want to get up. And then you sleep till 11 o'clock, and then you sleep till 12 o'clock. And the longer you lay there, the longer in your stupor you lay there, the more you feel like you're drunken. Your head begins to spin. You don't want to get up. It's like you're enfolding in yourself. And that's the condition of the sinner. They're so, I won't say happy, but they become so tired, so worn out, that they do not want to wake themselves. They don't want to face the reality of their condition. And that's a grave and sad condition to be in. In other words, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from those who are among the dead. In other words, don't just stay there in your stupor. Don't just lie there. And I admit that he told us that all that is left for the bride is to lay in the presence of the Son. Yes, he said that. Yes, he did say to lay in the presence of the Son, but if you lay in the presence of the Son to ripen and fall asleep, you're going to get burned. And if you know you're laying in the presence of the Son and you just lay there, you're going to get burned. Don't fall asleep in the presence of the Son. You'll regret it. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from among those that are dead. Notice, he never said awake from the sleep and continue to lay there. He said awake and get up. Arise and get out from among those that are dead who are still asleep. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34, Paul said, awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness. Awake to right wiseness. And sin not, and disbelieve no longer, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Notice Paul tells us that we have a purpose in being awakened. And that is that we are to awaken to righteousness, awaken to right wiseness, awaken to the light. As we said last night in the example we did, we turned off all the lights.
as we turn off all the lights in here, I said, now you got 10 seconds to find the door. Nobody moved. You couldn't see the door. And if you can't see the door, how are you going to find your way to the door? But when the lights come on, it's time for activity. It's time to move. See? And that's why God brings forth the sun every day. When that sun comes up, we should be like the old Indians. Get up with the sun. Go to bed with the sun. You know, you have a lot more energy. I don't know if it's a scientific fact, but it's an old wives' tale, but it sure is true. They say that for every hour of sleep you get before midnight, it's worth two after midnight. Did you know that? That's a fact. Try it sometime. Go to bed at 9 o'clock. You'll end up getting up at 6. Go to bed at midnight. It'll take you till 9 to feel comfortable. Go to bed at 2 in the morning. You'll hardly pull yourself up in the morning. Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's an old Benjamin Franklin expression. But it's true. In Romans 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is the time of our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, nor in strife or envying, but put on the Lord Jesus, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Paul said we are children of the light. Brother Branham used to get Billy Paul up at 6 in the morning. He said, get up out of bed. They said, why? What do we got to do? He said, I don't care what you do. Go wash your car, do something. Just get out of bed. Brother Ram said, I used to go out hunting. He said, well, not even hunting. I'd just go out to the woods. Yeah, I might take my rifle there. I might take my Bible with me. But I just got up. I got out just to get out. Why? Because you lay in bed. And 7 becomes 8, 8 becomes 9, 9 becomes 10, 10 becomes 11, 11 becomes 12, and some people don't even get up till noon to go out to work. Children of the night! God has made us children of the light! Children of the day! By the time we finish with this message today, you're going to understand one thing. Energy comes from light. Light, within the light, there's energy. That produces, the energy produces the light. And if you get into the light, if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, it energizes you. Get up, open your eyes. Stand up for a few minutes. Pretty soon you won't want to go back to bed. See? Shake yourselves. Like David said in Psalm 17 and 15, it said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. But how sad it is for a people never to have an expectation of coming into and becoming the likeness of God. And yet he said, beloved, now are you sons of God. Now you are sons of God. But it doth not yet appear what you shall be. But you know when he shall appear, you shall be like him. Oh, we couldn't be like God. Well, of course not, if you're not God's kids. But if you were born again by the Spirit of God, if God's life be in you, how can you not be like Him? See? David said, I will behold thy face in right wiseness. I will behold thy presence in right wiseness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Notice the words in Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Notice the words, arise and shine. That sounds like a wake-up call. How many of you had mothers that said, arise and shine? That's exactly what the Lord's saying. Arise and shine. In other words, wake up and get up. Don't just wake up and lay there. Don't just lay in the presence of the sun. But lay in the presence with a purpose. See? Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to that light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now there's the answer. That is why we are to awake and get up. It is that the Lord might show forth his glory. How many people come Sunday morning, they're too tired to get up and go to church? Are those people, those same people, too tired to get up and go to work? Has the greenback become our God? Have we put more preeminence in the greenback than we do in the God of our salvation? Arise and shine, for thy light has come. He's come down with a shout, the purifier in the midst of the people. He's leading us to a millennium. Shake yourself, as Brother Branham would say. See? But that's the answer. That is why we are to awaken. Get up! It is that the Lord might show forth his glory in us. Now, if we look closer at this word arise, it is a command to come forth. This is a resurrection command, the same command that Jesus gave to Lazarus when he called him forth from among the dead. He said, arise, Lazarus, arise, get up, come forth into the light. See? And a person that only wants to lay in bed will never accomplish anything. And in fact, will have a tendency to be poor all his life. Proverbs 6 and verse 9 says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Notice in the book of Malachi 4 and 2, we find that the Son of Righteousness arises first, and then he goes forth to do. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the soil. When the sun comes. See? Awake thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Notice there are three things that Paul speaks of here. Number one, awake thou that sleepest. First of all, we've defined who it is that sleeps. There are those who are spiritually dead. Those whose spiritual senses are lacking. Those who are not exercising their spiritual senses. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they do not hear. They have feelings, and yet we see that they are not feeling the warming of the Holy Spirit. They have a tongue, and yet they cannot taste and see that the Lord is good. These are those who only dream that they are eating, and yet they awake up to everlasting condemnation. And yet, when they do wake up at the second resurrection, they will know that they did not actually eat, nor did they drink, but only they imagined it taking place. But they never really did eat or drink. In Isaiah 29 and verse 8, he says, it shall be even as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Brother Branham said, that's the elect. In future home, Brother Branham said, the daughter of Zion. Remember, that's always the bride. So we see that those who sleep only dream that they are eating, and only dream that they drink. But when they shall awake at the second resurrection and face the white throne judgment, they will come to know that it was only a dream to find them, only a dream to them, and they will not eat, and they did not drink, and thus they were not filled, because he said, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. Yet these people think they're being filled, but it's only a dream. Let me ask you this. How many of you ever dreamt that you would become a millionaire? What good did it do you? Just a dream. Just a dream. Dreams come and dreams go. See? And the man that's hungry, he goes to bed hungry and he dreams that he's eating. He wakes up hungry. He dreams, he's thirsty and he dreams. He goes to bed and he dreams that he's drinking, but he wakes up and he's thirsty.
What good did it do him? What good does a slumber and sleep do the man? See?
Get up and do something about it. Number two, he said, awake, thou that sleepest. There's a call to awake. A call to come from out from among those who are dead. A call to come out from among those that are spiritually dead. Those who sleep. We have studied who that group of sleeping people are. And we found that only the wise and foolish virgins awoke and arose when that call came forth to come out to meet him. To come out from among them. And I will be not only a God to you, but he said, I will be a father as well. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, he said, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Get up and come out, because you're my kids. Now God is God. He's God to all, whether they be angels or whether they be men. And yet, it is clear that only those who have heard this cry, the midnight cry, to come out from among the dead, the cry to come out from among those who are asleep, only they who hear is He their God. And only they who come out will be the true sons and daughters of God. In Mark 12 and verse 27, Jesus himself said, He is not the God of the dead. He is not the God of the sleeping. He's the God of the living. You do greatly err. What do we mean? People that choose to sleep in on a Sunday morning? People who choose to sleep away in their life? People who will not put God forth, put an effort into their religion, into their worship of God? He's not their God. No. The God of their imagination is their God. He is not the God of the dead. He's not the God of the sleeping, the slumber. He's the God of the living, those who are awake. He says, come out, my children, come out to your father. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. In other words, you're come into my presence. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. While the world is in darkness, I have come to shine forth my doxa in you. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The glory, the doxa of the Lord is risen upon thee. I have come to share my doxa, my opinion, my assessment, my judgment with you. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10, when he shall come to be glorified in the saints, that word is in doxa, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. In the hour when he's come down to give us his light, what do we do with it?
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Oh, well, I'm just laying in the presence of the Son.
And you know what? You lay in the presence of the Son and fall asleep, you're going to get burned. You'll be here for the burning. Yep. Point number three. Therefore, we come to the main point that Paul is making here. He said, not only should you awake, thou that sleepest, but arise from the dead so that he might give you light. That's the main principle. That's the main point. Point number three is that the whole purpose of awakening from among those who are asleep, shake yourselves, is to receive the light. And this light comes, within this light comes the life of God. See? You don't even have, without the light, you don't even have a redemption. You don't have salvation. He said, they that walk in the light, as he is in the light, in his presence, see? They that walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. It doesn't cleanse those that are not in the light. And then we have fellowship. See? Now, In John 1 and 4, he says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." They didn't have a clue. They just didn't have a clue. It was just all a mystery to them. In John 3:19, he says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." You go into the inner city, and I don't mean to make racial slurs, this is not a racial slur, but you go into the inner city, where people are on the dole. You know, that's a Canadian word for people. Where people are making their money illicitly through drugs, sex, and things like that. Those are creatures of the night. They're up wandering the streets till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. You don't find them even getting up and going out until maybe 1 or 2 in the afternoon. They're not creatures of the day, they're creatures of the night. See? And this is the condemnation, that night is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. And what are they doing during the time of the light? They're sleeping. And so too in the Christian, so-called Christian churches today, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ has shined upon us, and what do? They're all asleep. Too busy with the things of the world. Too busy with their own occupations. Too busy with their own little jobs. When the greatest treasure you could ever have, and let me tell you something, when you start getting older, Norma will tell you, she qualifies. When you start getting older, you're thinking about one thing, and that's eternal life. It's not fulfilling youthful lust. It's not going out and loading up yourselves with all kinds of materialism. You're happy to have your health, and you're happy to have your God. And you're looking forward to the day when you can get out of this body and walk anew in a young body that's full of vitality that will never perish. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They had no clue what the light would produce. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They don't like the correction of the word. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they had their source in God. If you're a true son or daughter of God, you can't help, you love the word. Brother Bab said every time those doors open up, you're there. Soaking in the rays of his glorious presence. In John 12 and verse 35, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." And as we did last night, we shut the lights completely off in this place. Just a little bit of a glow through the window. You could see where about this window was. I don't think you could see these other windows. You might have if you're sitting very close to them. I couldn't see them from here. There's no way that if there had been a true emergency, you could have got to that back door in 10 seconds to get out. Maybe Bessie might have been able to work her way back there. And Jeremy, because you were sitting on the ends, the rest of you would have stumbled over each other. It was pitch black. You couldn't see. And Jesus said, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light." Get to your destination while you can still see. "For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." There's no clue. Confusion. Now I'd like to say this. Where you have light, you have energy. Light is only a reflection of a divine, or I won't say divine, but light is only a reflection of energy. Divine light is a reflection of divine presence. Divine energy. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 6, Paul says, "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that energizes all in all. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, divine to every man severally as he will. It goes this way. That word worketh is, but all these energize that one and that selfsame Spirit. Dividing to every man severally as he will. The word is energio. It looks like the word energy. It is the word energy. It means to wrought, to be effectual, to effectually work, to effectually be fervent, to work effectually in, to do, to be operative, to be at work, to put forth power, to work for one, to aid one, to effect, to display one's activity, to show oneself operative. And we find the word used in Galatians 2 and 8. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. The same was energized in me. And he that wrought effectually in Peter, he that energized in Peter, is the same one that energizes in me. In Galatians 5 and 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which is energized by love. In Ephesians 1 and verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who energizes all things after the counsel of his own will. In Ephesians 1 and 20, which he energized in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. In Ephesians 3 and 20 we read, But now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that energizes in us. You know, we have a commercial with the little rabbit, bing, 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 the energizer, the rabbit, keeps on going and going. What about the energy of God? If the energy of God is flowing through you, do you just sit in your slumber and sleep? I hope that this is the end time. I hope that I wake up to glory. Awake and rise and shine. If the energy, if the light, come to the light. There's energy in the light. Get out into the light, there's energy. See? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that energizes in us. Philippians 2 and 13, for it is God which energizes in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. In Colossians 1 and 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his energy which energizes in me mightily. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually energizes also in you that believe. The same energy that was in Christ, if it be in you, will also quicken your mortal body. You see? That's why a man could come. This man here, William Branham, just a little Kentuckian, born in sin like you and I, born in sin, shaped iniquity. He wasn't the same as the Son of God, but he was a Son of God, like you and I are a Son of God, or a daughter of God. But that same life that dwelt in that Son, that came down and overshadowed that Son, and then stepped into that Son, that same life came down, overshadowed the man, quickened him, awakened him out of his sleep. And that same energy produced the results, the miracles, the healings. Not the man, the energy. And that energy is divine presence. See? James 5 and 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The energizing, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that's why even science has proven. They've taken where they took X-ray. They took a tin foil sheet. They wired the thing. They placed it on a person. Then the man came and he prayed. He laid his hand on that, and there was all kinds of light radiating from that sheet. They said energy. That's why when the woman, she was dying of cancer, She's a good, godly Christian woman. And when she began to pray, they said that power meter, it kept bouncing off the positive, bouncing off the positive. They said it was 50 times that of a 50,000 watt radio station. That's energy, brother, sister. 50 times 50,000. 5 times 50,000 would be 250,000. You're talking about 2,500,000. That's 2,500,000 volts. Or watts it was. Watts. Radiating from that woman's prayer. And then we said, oh Lord, oh Jesus, if you could just, oh God, I'm not feeling good. Oh Lord, just, if you could just please hear my prayer. And you don't realize, brother, sister, there's 2,500 watts of energy laying within you. Enough to move mountains if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart. Hallelujah. It shall be done. See? The energizing, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Philemon 1 and verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become energized by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And Hebrews 4 and 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Notice that the word of God is quick. It's energizing and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it'll discern. It'll go into that other dimension. Pull out hidden facts, hidden things that you thought nobody knew about. That's discernment. That's electricity. That's the energy of God. You know, I think it's interesting that we have had electricity since the beginning of time. There's been static, there's been lightnings and thunders. You've got it all the way back in the Bible. Yet man never harnessed it until recently. You realize what man is doing with just in the carnal sense and the natural sense with that energy? You know they've made a chip right now? They've made a chip that is so small that you could fit 1,000 of them across and make up the breadth of a hair. 0.03 microns. That's pretty small. And they're making things smaller and smaller and smaller. You know the U.S. government has a little cockroach? They've had this for about 5 years now. They have a little cockroach. It's a little... The little mechanical cockroach, it walks, has 6 legs, it walks, it has 2 antennas, it has microphone, and a camera. They put it in embassies and places around the world. It walks around, people think it's a cockroach. It's a bug, all right. They've got, look, when man is tapped into the electricity, it has unharnessed all sorts of power that man never had before. they have a little machine that they could be flying in a helicopter by here. You could have the windows all boarded up. They can see you inside. They can hear you. Not only with thermal images, they've got satellites up above that can look 30 feet into the ground and see tunnels. That's what they did with Waco. That's why they burned them out. 30 feet into the ground. You know, I thought I was something when I was a little kid. I could run a string from here to that back door, and I could talk through the string, and my sister and my brother, they could hear me through the string, and I thought, wow, that's technology. That's really cool. And my dad bought me a little set, like a Rector set thing. It was for making an intercom type thing. Actually bought me that when I was 3 years old. My mom made him take it back. I wish you wouldn't have. Maybe I would have learned some electronics or something. But the fact is, the more and more and more we come to understand that little electronic. You know, we look out in the universe, and with our electronic telescopes now, we can see thousands and millions of miles beyond. And we see how enormous the universe is out there. And yet it's only been in the last dozen years or so that we're beginning to see the enormous universe that lays within an atom. We used to think that the cell was about as small as they got. Then we found out there's an atom. Actually, there's a DNA. And that DNA then has many multifaceted things. Man's exploring the DNA. You know they're working right now on immortality. The whole kick in science today is to actually place in you, to be able to go into you and turn off that button, that little thing that says to age. And they're working on that. They'll never get there. The day you eat thereof, that day you'll die. But brother, sister, it's interesting how too electronic. How many have seen those cameras where, you know, visually you can get up to about 16 times magnification? Well, there's 16 times magnification, you know, in one of those cameras is only about what you and I can see with our normal eye. But then you can get up to 70 or 80 or 100 magnification through electronic. Where they blow it up. I think Chris showed us one time a picture from the satellite looking down at this little church with the handful of cars parked. It must have been a Wednesday night. See? It's interesting that they can, from a block away, they can scan your retina. And everybody's retina is like a fingerprint. Taking your fingerprint, your retina scan, from a block away to identify who you are. Electronics! Well, how much greater the energy of God? They haven't even tapped into the fountain that brings life. We found through these little things, you know, recently that you can actually bring healing by a little bit of a jolt here, a little bit of a jolt there. What about the great jolt of laying hands on the sick and the great energy, 2,500 watts of your prayer for someone who's sick, or 2,500,000 watts going forth to the throne of God? Boy, if that gets channeled to the right place, that'll zap them right out. Wasn't the dead man thrown in upon the bones of Elisha? Came in contact with that and zap, he was right out there. Huh? We're talking about the energy of God. See, Brother Bram said from the inner man, preaching in Chicago. Now our hands and our lips and our eyes, them's God's hands, lips and eyes that we have here. He was on earth. Now he's gone back to God and sends forth his energy of his spirit to anoint us with the Holy Ghost. And then if we are submissive to him, and then our hands represent his hands, that's the reason he said they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God's energy flowing through you. From fundamental foundation, he said, if God could just clear that little channel out and run that energy out to that place, then something's going to happen. From again, he said, then that energy can never pull you through. But when you go to the place that you're perfectly wired and the master electrician has okayed it by sealing it with the Holy Spirit, the only thing that, just turn on that switch then, and there'll be a light show. That's right. A light show. See? From a fundamental foundation, again, he said, now the vine with all its energy cannot produce anything unless the branch is willing to receive the energy. Let me just say in closing, I just have a few here I'll give you. It says, right now he's furnishing the energy. From hear ye him. He said, I say unto you, the Son, quoting Jesus, St. John 5:19, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that the Son doeth likewise. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The things that I do shall you do also, for I go unto my Father, more than this will you do. See, it's not man. It's Christ living. We are the branches. He's the vine. He just sends forth the energy, and we yield ourselves, and he works the works of God through you. That's why Jesus said, look, I'm waiting on the great energizer. Bing, 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 bing. I'm waiting for the great energizer. Ah, he's here. You know what, Brother Branham, standing there? You know who I'm waiting for? I'm waiting to get energized. See? From infallible proof of his resurrection, he said, this is either the truth or it's an error. And if God promised in this Bible that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever, that's either the truth or it's not. And I believe that He has ascended on high. His corporal body sits in the presence of God the Father tonight at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And the Holy Spirit, which was in Christ, is in the church. And He is the vine, the energy giver, and you are the branches. He says He energizes it to bring forth the fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. If my life abides in you, it'll bring forth fruit. If my energy is in you, it'll produce. You could put a vine all day long, just keep it in the dark, it'll not produce. But when the energy of the light strikes, what does it do? It pulls the fruit out. See? When God keeps His word, He says, now there's five gifts that's set in the church. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. That's the branches. And God pours His energy into that. Some of them to preach, some of them to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, see? And apostles are missionaries, etc. It's both the same word. Notice, God pours His energy. He funnels, He channels His energy. From we will see Jesus, He said, now, what is the Spirit of God? It's something that lives in you and moves in you. Now, what did Jesus say? He said, I am the vine. You are what? The congregation is the branches. The vine does not bear fruit, does it? No, sir. What bears fruit? All the branches. When He was here, He was a branch too, from God. God was in Him. But now, God's in us, and He's the vine, and what does the vine do? It furnishes energy to the branches. What for? To bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. Looking at the unseen, Brother Ram said, oh, can't you feel that pulsation of the Spirit begin to rise in your heart, saying, Jesus Christ is in our midst? Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there in the midst. Pulsations. Something's moving like a heartbeat. It's pumping energy to your spirit. It's pumping energy to your mind. I like that when Brother Brandon would have his watch on. He couldn't hold the watch when he's praying for the sick. That great magnetic shock or whatever it was. That great energy of the Holy Ghost just burst the thing. It couldn't work after that. As I thought on my way, he said, so the woman touched him, and he turned and told her, now, if he's the same God tonight that he was then, the same high priest that can now be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, he acts the same way. Now he's gone into glory. He's the vine, we are the branches. The vine does not bear fruit, the branch bears fruit. Is that right? You don't get fruit off the vine, you get it off the branches. Well, if we're the branches and He's the vine, then He furnishes the energy, which is the Holy Spirit, and if the Holy Spirit spirits from Him, it'll act like Him. How many ever did that thing where you kind of grade your feet? And you walk around. And then you touch somebody. You feel that shock? Try doing it with 10 of you holding hands. Then touch somebody. That last person on that, or you touch, grab a doorknob. That last person will almost have a heart attack. There'll be so much energy fly through their body. It'll zap them. Even in good health, when I was 18 years old, we'd grab about a dozen kids in school, we'd walk around, and we'd all be, you know, doing this, and then one person grabbed, and the last person would go, boom, and they just about get knocked off their feet. Then they told us, hey, don't do that, kids, you might get a heart attack. We said, oh, okay, we won't do it. Every once in a while you get one kid, want to be the brave one at the end. Everybody else would feel it. And the last guy, boom! Magnified as it passed through all those transponders. Transformers, see? Exactly. From testimony of a true witness, he said, but they had been filled with an energy, a power of the Holy Spirit that had set them free from sin and death. Also from from paragraph 248, he said, we don't want to be self-made Pharisees. God, fill us with deity. Fill us with power and energy until our souls are aflame, that our strength will be Him, our testimony will be God, our words will be His. Now, I have another experiment. You might be able to do it. I don't want any kids just to try this on your own. Do it where it's safe. Take some power, any power. You start cranking that power up. What's it going to do? It's eventually going to cause whatever you're touching, it'll cause it to burn. Now, I can take a live wire and I can hold it even to a piece of paper, and nothing's going to happen. But now if I start putting 7,000 volts through that thing, or 70,000 volts, that thing's just going to... How many times have you heard of men that were working on a high line? They touched it. Incinerated. Ashes. Burnt to a crisp. It's the power. Now that's maybe 70,000 volts or whatever, 70,000 watts, whatever it is that goes through them. What about, or 7 million watts? What about 2.5 million watts? See. From Jehovah Jireh, Brother Brand said, "But he is here in the person of the Holy Spirit. I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, the vine does not bear fruit." St. John 15, the vine cannot bear fruit. It's the branches that bear fruit. "As it energizes from the vine, and Christ is our energy. But your lips is his lips when you're energized. Your hands is his hands when you're energized from the vine. Christ is the vine of his church, and each member is a branch of his church, and he energizes us." We're energized by the vine. A couple more in closing. In Wisdom verse 8 says, "Remember, Satan had a wire too. But no matter how much copper, how nice copper the wire is, if it hasn't got no life in it, it's dead. She won't act. The same wire. One's got energized from the dynamo." He calls it the dynamo. Remember, he talked about the dynamics. Here's a woman. Let me just say this. Here's Jesus walking through a crowd. One woman was drowning. And when she touched the hem of his garment, he felt. "Who touched me?" he said. And the apostle said, wait a minute, Jesus. You've been walking through literally 1,000 people, and you say, "Who touched me?" He said, "Hey, listen. There was somebody out there that was grounded in faith. You see? Get grounded in faith. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and he will give you light. He will give you his energy. Get grounded, and it'll allow the current of God's word to make a reality in your life." From Pergamian Church Age, he said, "How can you tell the spirits apart? Just give them the word test. If they don't speak the word, they are of the evil one. As the evil one deceived the first two brides, he will try to deceive the bride of this last day by trying to get her to hybridize herself through creeds, or just plainly turn from the word to any sign that suits her. But God never placed signs ahead of the word. Signs follow the word. As when Elijah told the woman to bake a cake for him first according to the word of the Lord. When she did as the word said, the proper sign come. Come to the word first and then watch the miracle. The seed word is energized by the Spirit." Now, how many of you believe your seed word? Energized by what? By his Spirit. See? He says from Exploits of Faith, "If we be in God, then we're energized by his Spirit, and my hands become his hands. Your hands become his hands." From Fundamental Foundation, he said, "And let the Holy Spirit come in tonight and energize us." Again, he said, "There's got to be something to take place through a divine gift that'll energize the people with the Holy Spirit to believe." He said, "I'm looking for it. There's got to be something that'll take place through a divine gift that'll energize the people to the Holy Spirit to believe." Finally, he said, "Oh, we pray, Father, that you'll energize us tonight with your holy presence." And again, he said, "And God asks us to believe his word. He sends the Holy Spirit to energize that word when he falls into it." From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever, he says, "And I pray, God, tonight that you'll energize every person here with your presence." From Wisdom versus Faith, he said, "It's the water of the word of faith that energizes the word of God and makes it work." And from Hear Ye Him, he said, "That we might become the branch, that he can energize us with his life to make the same life that he had living in us." How many want to get connected? Let's just bow our heads and hold our hand up as a lightning rod. Dear gracious Father, we lay our hands up tonight or this morning as a lightning rod. We pray, Father, that you would just come down.
that your energizing spirit through your energizing word would enter our bodies and bring forth an energy that would bring us into contact, bringing true revelation, bringing us into the light. Help us, Father, to slumber no longer, but help us to make a commitment. Help us be dedicated. Help us be, Lord, just a people who are committed to get up with the light, to go into the light, become energized. And Father, we just commit the energies of you, that you have no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet, no eyes but our eyes, no ears but our ears. And Father, we pray that we might use them for thy glory, that you might be in doxad in us, that your glory might be in us, reflecting your power, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I pray that while we did pray, my desire is that the lightning of God, the power of God, the Spirit of God, his energy might come into you. That little lightning rod up, put that up as often as you can, and just let him come down and strike that. Lightning does strike in the same place. And the odds of it striking 40 or 50 times in the same place, I don't know what those odds are, but God is greater than odds. And I just pray that God will, my hand will be up as often as possible, that God will come down, that power of God will come down, and as we lay hands on the sick, they will be healed. Well, we have a little verse that we sing, and let's all stand to our feet. Chrissy and Joe, you could come up. And it's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. We've made a commitment this morning. We want the lightning of God, the power of God to energize us, to get us out from sleeping, out from slumber. Hours spent, the day is long. And we want to come to that place where God will begin to use us and live through us, and may the dynamics just manifest themselves in this little body. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have now committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed.